Please be seated, and as you do, why don't you turn around and say hello to someone next to you, please. So good to see you all. And as usual, the front is empty. Thanks, Jun, thank you for being there. We purposely put that there so we would have someone sitting there, but I noticed the guys on the sound are at the back. Yeah. All right. Anyway, good morning to you. Welcome. My name is Michael, for those who are new or newish to Honeywood. And I just want to say, I led you astray on that song. That was me. That was me. I led you astray. And so I want to encourage you, don't trust the pastors when they're preaching, right? It's biblical to take what is spoken from the front and test it in the Word. You have to do that, right? So I might say things, but throughout the week, you need to go through Scripture and really test and discern through the Spirit. What Michael shared, was that right? Right? We need to do that. Don't just trust and follow, right? Even in the singing, oh, Lord, help me. All right. But it is a great honor and a privilege to be able to share God's Word with you this morning. Today, we're going to continue with our series on a generous life with the title Shrewd. Now, that's something that doesn't seem to go together, a generous life and someone being shrewd. So let's start with this question. What do you value most in life? What do you value most in life? What is your heart naturally drawn to? We know that a person's heart is tied to what they value most in life. And Jesus spoke of this truth in Matthew 6:21 when he said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he instructs us, instead of valuing and building treasure on earth, Jesus urges us to store up treasures in heaven. So church, where is your treasure? Where do I keep my treasure? What do you value most in life? And is it what Jesus values, or is it something else? Is it something else? For we will be generous in every way with everything that we have to what our heart is actually drawn to. So let's have a look at the parable of the shrewd manager in Luke chapter 16. To gain wisdom in living a generous life here on this side of eternity, and to see how we might reorientate our hearts to what God has for us today. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. So if you have your Bibles, please open up to Luke chapter 16. But I'm going to be referring to Luke chapter 15 and 16. So it'd be good to just have it open. All right. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 3,000 liters of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 1,500. Then he asked the second, 'And how much do you owe?' 30 tons of wheat, he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill, make it 24. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you a property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Amen. This is God's word for us today. So a quick summary of what we have just read. We're told that the shrewd manager wasted what was not his. Being called out by the owner, he's called to give an account of his actions, all his dealings, he's called to give an account. But he acted shrewdly, used what power and time he had left to set himself up once he was fired. Then he is commended for his actions. Now that's odd, but he's commended for his actions. Then Jesus teaches his disciples and those around them about wealth and use of wealth. Now, this is one of those passages that we can find it difficult to understand. I know I have in the past. It's on the surface, it seems like Jesus is in approval of the manager's immoral behavior, right? His shrewd behavior. The word shrewd actually means having or showing astute or sharp judgment in practical matters, sometimes at the cost of moral compromise. Words which are synonyms to shrewd include someone who is intelligent, discriminating, keen, perceptive, discerning, quick, cunning, tricky, or artful, but all at the cost of moral compromise. Basically, a shrewd person is quite quick in their thinking and will do whatever it takes to get or achieve what they want, no matter the cost. No matter the cost. It's about themselves to achieve, to gain. It's for them. So for me, when I was younger, and even just looking at this passage leading up to this, it raised more questions than answers about how to live. Weren't the manager's actions immoral? Wasn't he selfish? If it was immoral and selfish, then why was he commended for his actions? What has this behavior to do with the use of wealth? What can we learn from this? Now, to help us understand this parable, we need to read it in the context of Jesus' teaching from all the parables from chapter 15 and chapter 16. It's a continuous story and a continuous teaching. With the lost parables of the sheep coin and the lost son, then there is the parable which sits in the middle, and Jesus closes with the parable of the rich man and Lazarus the beggar. So let's spend a bit of time going through some of these parables, the preceding parables, and hit the shrewd manager and finish with some applications. How about that? So if we look at the big picture of these parables, there is a flow in the story and teaching. We're told that in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, so if you want to keep your Bibles open, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." This is Luke chapter 15, 1 to 2. This is the setting. So there's all these sinners, all the people following Jesus, and he's got his disciples, and there's the Pharisees. And Jesus begins his teaching with the lost sheep, that the shepherd leaves the 99 to find the one. And when the sheep is found, there is this great celebration and a great joy. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous person who does not need to repent. This is Luke 15, verse 7. Then Jesus follows up the teaching with a parable of the lost coin. Once again, there is rejoicing when the coin is found by the owner. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's great joy and celebration. Then Jesus teaches through the parable of the lost son. Once again, there is great joy when the prodigal son returns after squandering, wasting his father's wealth on worldly pleasures. But yet again, there is celebration. But we know that the older brother in the parable was not happy at all, for he complains. This is what he says in the parable. The older brother became angry and refused to go in to the celebration. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered, wasted your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." The father says, "My son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Let's pause and take a kind of like a sidestep. We need to go through these parables. In the parable of the lost sheep, it was the shepherd who went out to find the lost sheep. The lost coin, it was the owner, the woman. In the lost son, who went to find the younger brother? In the lost son, who went to find the younger brother? No one. No one went to find the younger brother. But whose duty was it to go and find the younger brother? It was actually the older brother. It was the older brother who should have gone to look for the younger brother, to bring him home. But he doesn't. And we know from these parables, Jesus is teaching us that he came to find and save the lost, to redeem and reconcile the lost to our Heavenly Father. So after teaching these parables, and once again, there's the Pharisees, there's all the people wanting to hear, he turns his focus on the disciples. The ones who Jesus is calling to be different. Different to the Pharisees. This is what I'm calling you to. And he's saying, do not be like the Pharisees who are not seeking to find the lost, but are focused on wealth, on themselves. Do not be like them who uses wealth for their betterment, for their progress, for their status. Do not be like them. And Jesus says through the parable of the shrewd manager, use what God has given you to befriend the lost. Befriend those who hunger and thirst. Befriend the widow, the lowly, and the destitute. Befriend and save them to the kingdom of God. Be wise and shrewd with what God has given each of us. The things of this world, the physical and the spiritual, and use it for the kingdom of God. Not for ourselves, but for God. And then Jesus finishes the teaching with a stern warning. For those who do not use what God has given them, they will be like the rich man in the last parable, the rich man and Lazarus. It says in verse 22 of chapter 16, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Where did he end up? I'm going to encourage you to go and read the story, read the parable. The rich man longed to be with God, but it was too late. It was too late. So as this sets the context, let's see what God is saying to us today. What God is saying to us today as we look at the parable of the shrewd manager and some application. So first thing that we learn from this parable of the shrewd manager is that everything we have is from God. Everything that we have is from God. The father said to the older son, Everything that I have is yours. God has gifted us with everything that is of His. He has blessed us with that. We're told in the parable that the manager was wasting the rich man's possession. Like the younger son, he squandered, he wasted. It is the same Greek word that is used for the younger son squandering the wealth that he took from his father. And the shrewd manager wasting, squandering away for his own personal enjoyment and whatever he was doing with it, with the owner's wealth, it is the same word. And so the manager was accused of wasting the owner's possessions. It was not the manager's possession, it was the owner's. Now we may think that what we own and what we have is ours, but God says everything that we have is actually His. It belongs to Him. Deuteronomy 10:14 says, "To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heaven, the earth, and everything in it belongs to God." Everything belongs to God. Church, do we believe this? Do you believe this? Do I believe this? That everything we have belongs to God. The scripture, the holy word of God says everything belongs to Him. My life belongs to Him. My children belongs to Him. All that I have belongs to Him. My house, my car, my TV, my Bible, everything belongs to Him because everything is actually from Him. We might think, but I've worked hard for all that I have. I've saved diligently. I was careful with my money. And I am sure that we have. I'm sure that you have. But we all know our God is the great Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. It is He who has provided us with all those. And now if I truly believe everything I have is from God, then how can I squander it away? How can I squander it on myself, misuse it? No. God is our provider, and so it is with everything that we have. We need to be good stewards of what God has given to us. And a shrewd manager was called to give an account for his actions. We too, one day, will be called to give an account. On the final day of judgment, we will be called to give an account to what God has given to us on this side of eternity. He will ask, what have you done with that? Which leads to our second learning, that we need to be good stewards. We need to be good stewards of whatever God has given to us. So the passage says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Now God has given us so much. In the parable He talks about money, material wealth. But I want to stretch our thinking and understanding today. Let's not only think about material wealth, but what about the true spiritual riches, the spiritual wealth that God has given to us? I'm talking about the gospel, the good news of Jesus. We have been entrusted with the good news of Jesus to seek and find which is lost. To be generous with what God has entrusted us, the material wealth on this side of eternity, to seek, to raise up, to serve, to build up the body of Christ and to edify His kingdom of God. We are called to use what God has provided for us and see where He is at work and be part of that with our material wealth, but also with our spiritual wealth that He has given to us. If we don't go out spreading the gospel, if we don't share the love of Jesus, then who is going to do that? A non-believer will not preach the gospel. We as believers need to do that. We cannot be like the Pharisee. We cannot be like the older brother who do not go and seek the lost. We need to do that. We are called to be generous with what God has provided us, both materially and spiritually, and seek the lost, not like the older brother. So we as church and as individuals are commissioned to use all that God has given to us and to bring the lost home, to be generous with what God has entrusted to us for His work, for His work. We must accept that everything we have is from God, that it belongs to Him, and to be generous with what He has entrusted to us, to seek, to raise, to serve, whatever God places on our hearts for the kingdom of God. Then we will be trusted with true riches. For if we're not doing what God has called us to, then we are living for ourselves like the Pharisees. So as Jesus is teaching, He's actually speaking to the disciples, but everyone is listening and He's speaking to the Pharisees. And He's saying to the Pharisees, you are rich. And they were absolutely rich. They had the status. They were rich in and of themselves. But Jesus is saying no. Because what they were really doing was serving themselves. And the last point is this. We only have one master. We can ever serve one master. We cannot serve ourselves through money, through means, whichever way. We cannot serve ourselves. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We are told that it is totally impossible to serve God, both God and money. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. And this is not my teaching. This is Jesus' teaching. Jesus is saying there is no middle ground. It's either you will serve mammon, money, wealth, pursue it for your gains, or you will serve God. You will despise God with our intellect and hate Him with our emotions, the totality of our being, if we start to serve money. Those of the world feel no tension about this because God and money are all tied up together in one profound idolatry of self. It's about me. However, we followers of Jesus are the ones who feel the tension because duty pulls us in one direction and the pressures of life pulls us into another direction. We all go through times when material focus is required. You know, purchasing of a home. I was at a wedding, right? You want to have a beautiful wedding yesterday, and then we want to have a beautiful wedding. It all costs money because we do live in a material world. And some of these things, even the birth of a child, it costs money. The possessions of wealth, even great wealth, does not make us a materialist. But it actually dramatically increases our danger. We really need to be careful. And I've done this before, and I've fallen into this trap that we try very hard to serve both God and money. I don't know about you, but I've fallen into this trap. So let me ask you this question, and this is a good way to test, right? Whether you're trying to serve both money and God, when your guard is down, what do you talk about? What do you think about? What is it that you most want to talk about with your friends, with your spouse? Is it a new car? Maybe, I don't know, holiday? I mean, you got TV, but I wouldn't mind a bigger one. You know, when our guard is down, temptations creep in. We need to be careful. We need to be on our guard in this area. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Let's be content with what God has provided. Let's be grateful for what we have. If we are to pursue something, then let it be Jesus and into a more intimate relationship with Him and serve Him. That we will be like Lazarus in the parable, poor in the eyes of the world, but very, very rich in the kingdom of God. Lacking nothing. We actually lack nothing. Nick preached last week, we lack nothing, for our Jesus is our shepherd. He provides for everything. So to conclude, Jesus tells us straight. He says, make friends through your use of money, for everything you have is His. You know, God provided the ultimate sacrifice. He provided the ultimate sacrificial lamb, Jesus, who was slain for our sins. And we are told that we are not our own, that we have been bought at a price. And we are now called to honor God even with our bodies. Then if so, with our bodies, how much more with all the material and spiritual blessings that God has given to us, how much more do we need to do with that? So let's be faithful. Let's be good stewards with the money, with the spiritual blessings, so that God will entrust us with true spiritual riches. Use your material wealth. Use your spiritual wealth to gain friendship with God and with people, so that both heaven and the redeemed humanity will welcome us home in eternity. And let's be on guard always, remembering that we cannot serve both God and money, period. There's no middle ground. So I pray that we will take this and we'll meditate on it and chew on it and discern, where is our heart? Where is our heart? What am I naturally drawn to? Because that's where your treasure is. And for some of us who have children, it could be our children, it could be our family, it could be my spouse. We really need to think and really need to discern where our heart is naturally drawn to. So as we pray, I'm going to invite Bill to come up because he's going to lead us in communion. And if you haven't grabbed the communion emblem, if you want to raise your hand, Nick will happily, and Michelle will happily bring them to you. All right, church, let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, forgive us our sins when we have taken what you have provided for us for granted. Forgive us for the times that we have misused what you have entrusted to us. Oh, Jesus, we need you. Help us to turn to you. Help us to seek wisdom in our use of what you have provided for us. Help us to be good stewards for your kingdom. Help us to be generous, for we are all rich in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are rich in you, Jesus. We truly lack nothing, for you are our Jehovah Jireh. And we pray that you will fill us afresh with your Spirit, that we will seek to find the lost and to spur one another onwards for your glory and for your kingdom. So, Father, throughout the week, help us to meditate, ponder on these things. Where is our heart drawn to? And if it is not you, Jesus, help us to reorientate our heart to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.